Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on over there? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I'm Leo.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
New at 11, police busted this man right here from Central Florida for hiding his legless girlfriend by stuffing her body in a plastic storage container. The girlfriend, Christy Lee Anderson, was on the run from U.S. Marshals. She was also wanted by the Polk County Sheriff's Office. She's facing charges for holding people hostage at a Burger King. She got in a shootout with police, which is how she lost her legs. Authorities spotted that boyfriend stuffing the four-foot woman in a container. They arrested both of them.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. 617-779-0985. Speaking of that, did you see the woman who took a dump at the Tim Hortons?
She did.
And then British Columbia?
Like a monkey in a cage started throwing it, too.
She took napkins.
Yep.
She wiped herself and she started throwing them at the staff.
Yeah, that was. I haven't. It's funny. I didn't click on the video. I just saw the headline
over and over and over.
It was just one of those things where I don't know if I think I actually had to see it, but I kind of took the article's word for it.
No, it's fascinating. I mean, how you accomplish that is very interesting.
Well, I mean, I've seen some stuff similar to that more than I would like to admit. Like there was a woman who, one time when my wife was using a stroller to take our kids to school, went right in front of where the school was, and this crazy woman started screaming at the school that they wouldn't let her inside to use the bathroom, so she pulled down her pants and on the stairs of the school just peed all over it, and like right next to my kids. So like to the point where my wife had to pull the stroller back to make sure that there wasn't any reciprocal splashing flying anywhere. So she of course got arrested pretty quick. I've seen people do that. Just like, I mean, if you go to Boston Common, every once in a while, on a good day, you'll see someone just taking a dump.
Yep,
right in front of everyone.
Is you go to the Four Seasons and you eat where they have it, looks out onto the common,
the Bristol Lounge. That's right.
Now you can. There's quite a feast to the senses.
Yeah, you see, to me, most of the action happens on the other side, over by Park Street Station. That's where it is like the vortex to a different world.
Mm.
That's where you've got people screaming at the sky and everything. I mean, that's where I've seen, I think I've seen twice someone going number two. And my wife had the experience with someone going number one over there. And I'm not talking just like, you know, discreetly.
No,
I'm talking right in the middle of everything where everyone can see.
I've been to the Bristol Lounge three times. And one of the times I was there, a woman right across the street from where the windows look out majestically into the common took a leak right there in front of the wall.
That is unsettling.
It's just interesting. It was more interesting than anything.
you viewed it as like a nature film.
Yeah, okay. Just like, wow, you don't see that every day.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, there's some interesting characters that are over there. There was somebody that used to walk just in a square, and they would do that, and I would see like one day would go by, and then I'd walk over, and it's almost like they woke up in the morning and said, today's the day I'm walking in a square, mm-hmm. And they would do that, and you would come back a week later, and that person would still be there walking in a square.
That has to be kind of nice.
That's all you got to do that day?
Yeah, like you wake up, and because you know there's a sense of fulfillment, so like you just get up in the morning, and you go, I'm going to go to the common, walk in a square. And then you go and walk in the square, and then, you know, 5 o'clock rolls around, and you hear the old whistle, and
yeah.
Then you're on your way home, and then the next day, the same routine.
You're locked in. You have a task to fulfill. You fulfill it.
Yeah.
You're blissfully unaware of anything else.
Yeah.
And you just go ahead and accomplish that.
Yeah, it must be
That's
fairly
pretty good,
nice.
Actually.
Yeah. I mean, it must be.
Your mind doesn't wander. You know you're going to fit. You know you're going to complete the thing you set out to do each day.
Well, you know, it's sort of a Zen-like experience.
Yeah.
You just walk in a square.
Yep.
Today, there's going to be Townie Jeopardy, which is very exciting, only because, is Bird here yet? No, Bird is not here yet. And Nick is sick.
Yeah, so Dan has kind of taken on some extra duties in there.
But if Bird shows up, that wouldn't be ironic, or not ironic, but wouldn't it be funny if Bird was the one of the three contestants that didn't show up today?
No, he'll be here.
I always know it's Bird's day because the phone doesn't ring. But the Pasta Guy is coming in.
Mm-hmm. I'll get up around 10 a.m., eat a bowl of pasta.
Now, I shot you about 400 ideas yesterday.
Yeah. I take it
that none of them are going to be you.
Well, no, that's not true. There is, okay. Yes, in some of the categories. We've got our contestants today are Bird, who is the reigning champ.
Two-time defending champ.
The Dude makes his triumphant return. He will be here
now,
as well.
He now has a very interesting mustache situation going on.
Now, I haven't seen it, but yeah. I'm only going to assume that it's one of those that doesn't quite fill in all the way. Like the guy in high school who couldn't quite grow the
every
full
time
mustache.
I see the bird, I slow down my walk so we miss each other. So,
you mean the Dude?
Oh, yeah, the Dude. It's that, like, I'll see him and he'll look at me and I'll immediately start walking super slow. So, like, you know, not having any interaction.
I love my interactions with the Dude.
It's fine.
It's a lot of staring.
It's nothing against him, I suppose. But I guess it is.
It's not?
Sure. But I got nothing to say.
Ah, for sure.
I like to keep it fresh for the air.
Sure. That makes sense.
You know?
But then you got...
But I think it might be connected to something else. I'll have to see. It's more than just a mustache. And maybe it's a Hetfield connected to the sideburns thing.
Oh, okay. Like the Somerville hipster one.
No.
It doesn't like curl up?
No.
Oh, okay.
Come on. No.
We've had people work here had those.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We had a foppish dandy there.
Yes, we did. Probably using the mustache wax.
Yeah, he probably spent... You know, I, in 2006... had a big handlebar mustache. 2006 when we lived here.
Now, like a handlebar, the one that just came down here. Yes. And you was okay, well, that's different. This guy had the kind that was barbershop quartet.
I would like it to be known.
The Raleigh fingers. That's exactly right, yes.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He spent at least a half an hour a day getting that thing together.
Yeah.
For no reason. But, yeah, so it would be interesting to see the Dude. We haven't had the Dude on the air in like a year.
Yeah, it's been a while, so it's good to have him back. And then, of course... The wild card, the new superstar, that would be the Pasta Guy Joe.
Pasta.
So he'll be here as well.
A category I know we're not going to use that I suggested was cereal jackets.
Just like... Because I don't really know how to phrase the question.
Because he has he was wearing a Wheaties jacket.
Okay.
So it'd just be like all about jackets for brands of cereals.
I see. His video is the best. I went back and watched the original video that made him part of our Worse Than Tom Brady contest.
Yeah, and you can tell he's not faking it.
No. He's lying down. He's eating onion rings. He's watching Netflix.
He's like sort of a lying, but he's sitting up.
Yeah.
He's sitting up about as little as you can sit up.
Sure. I don't think he's sitting up at all.
Well, his like shoulders are against the back of the couch. He's not laying prone.
Okay. That makes sense, yeah.
And he's pulling food out from everywhere, and he's got, like, long hair.
Hurley from Lost is kind of what I hear people compare him to.
And we're rocking a Wheaties jacket, which is odd because I would imagine he's had very few meals of Wheaties in his life. But he will be in, hopefully. He's another guy without a car. Apparently, the last time that Heart Attack Guy and him shared an Uber
Fat
here.
Tony.
Shared an Uber here.
Okay.
No one has a car.
No. So hang on. So how, I don't know how he's getting here.
It's Cedric Maxwell's in today at 9, and we have to go pick him up.
Yeah. So this is okay. So that's an interesting. We have two straight hours where it's going to be very, very strange. 8 o'clock hours, Townie Jeopardy. And then at 9 o'clock... we are set to have Cedric Maxwell in, but it's also when Danny Ainge calls in. So Cedric Maxwell is going to be in on the Danny Ainge call. Is that what we're going to do?
Yes.
Okay, so he's going to be in on the Danny Ainge call. And then we have Cedric Maxwell for the rest of the hour. Now, I did not realize this, but when we got that picture of Cedric Maxwell eating the Cheeto sandwich that the people at the TD Garden end up making for him, did you realize that they're going to sell that now at the TD Garden?
Yes.
And they're calling it the Max?
I sent you a picture of that.
See, I thought that I didn't realize that was...
They're going to call it the Max?
Yes. Yeah, it's called
well,
the
then
Max.
There better be a magician waiter.
As it's named after the Saved by the
That's
Bell
right.
place.
Good call.
Where they all used to hang out. But yeah, I mean, I didn't realize that. And then I was like, oh yeah, it's the Max sandwich.
Grandy texted me a picture of the Max sandwich complete with the description of the Max.
Delicious fried chicken topped with maple syrup and sandwiched between two Cheetos and used waffles. Each waffle is made to order in a Celtic Shamrock waffle iron and served with a side of Cheetos. So there you go. So it's a Cheeto chicken sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
All because of Cedric Maxwell's nonsense that he screams on the air. They have now made a sandwich out.
All it is a chicken sandwich with Cheetos on the side.
No. The bun, it's a waffle. The bun is a waffle that is made out of waffle batter and Cheetos.
And there's some syrup involved. I mean, there are many different flavors.
Well, there's an awful lot there that's not the Cheeto sandwich.
No, I mean, the Cheetos are in the waffle.
The Cheetos infused, you see.
Yeah, I understand that, but it's a chicken sandwich with some Cheetos crap on it.
Yeah.
It's not Cheetos in between two pieces of bread.
No, it's not. They've kind of taken the concept and run it a different direction.
Oh, yes. Well, that's great. Okay. Who's ordering that? It's a fried chicken
Hundreds
sandwich.
Hundreds of thousands of Cedric Maxwell fans.
It's essentially the McDonald's sandwich with the maple syrup and the chicken. I understand.
There's Cheetos in it. Like, it's actually in the batter. Like, it crunches when you bite the waffle.
Great. I mean, so they liquefy Cheetos?
No, they just crunch them up.
Well, stir them in.
Yep, it's like, you know, blueberries in a waffle, except it's Cheetos.
Well, that sounds disgusting.
Well, I mean, I never said it was going to sound delicious, but that's just what they've done. People are going to be outraged and shaking their fists this morning.
Happiness comes from feeling good about yourself.
Breaking the mold on sports radio in Boston.
Is that why I thought of Sesame Street?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich would have plastic.
The Bats wake up and the Red Sox avoid the sweep.
Talking about launch. He launched this baby. Out of the ballpark. Home run for J.D. Martinez. Wow.
That is Nesson, and the previous two nights were fairly depressing efforts against the Oakland A's, but last night, the Bats were alive and the sweep avoided. Boston's 6-4 win at Fenway. J.D. Martinez went yard for the 12th time this year, but he wasn't the only one feeling it yesterday.
As Ramirez at second, Martinez at first, and none out. High fly ball. Forget about this one. Way, way back.
Ding-dong. Super-duper-dong-dong over the wall. You know what it's all about, Johnny Wallgame, right now in baseball? It's about launch angle.
Yeah. It's about launch angle. It's about exit velocity off the bat.
They tell you now, you know, the old school way of doing things is to hit down on the ball. But Right. Now they're teaching you to drop your shoulder a little bit, create a bit of a launch angle.
Strikeouts are up. Homers are up.
Well, they're saying that how many guys can field you in the infield? And then you answer that question and you say to yourself, five. And then they say, how many can make a play in the outfield? And you ask yourself, you say three.
Mm.
And then you say, what has more area? Mm-hmm. And then you say the outfield. So now it's all about launch angles.
Yep.
They used to be, you would swing down on the ball. It would be a very sudden motion. But now that they're teaching, the first thing you want to do is before your hands even move, you drop the shoulder, and then you move, and then the last thing to go is the hands.
Mm-hmm.
And then kablowie, ding-dong galore.
Kablowie?
Mm. Yeah.
Kablowie.
Yeah, crack of the bat, boom, boom, boom.
I thought it was salami.
Yeah, that's what I was waiting for.
Well, I was trying to annoy everyone with salami, but then...
But then,
because everyone said, well, that's not salami, grand salami. And I said, I can't have any fun. And so I took it away from the people.
I said,
you enjoy that? No.
I will take your toy away from you and go home.
That's right. said, enough of this guff. I don't want any more of your guff.
Well, right there with that home run, Xander Bogaerts already has half his home run total from last year. And Chris Sale, he was a bit off, but he got the win anyway, walking four batters for the first time this year. However, he allowed just one hit until the fifth inning when he gave up two runs. But it was a much-needed win at just the right time. Here's Alex Cora on J.D. Martinez.
Special. I say special. Sometimes attacking the first pitch, you know, the walk. We can talk about the home run, but that walk was huge for us. 3-2 breaking ball, being able to lay it off. I said again, he's a complete hitter.
And Chris Sale knows he wasn't looking as sharp as usual and was thankful for his teammates to help him bail him out yesterday.
Off-speed stuff really wasn't as good as I wanted it to be, especially my breaking ball. Kind of got into some old habits tonight, but my arm felt good. I felt loose, felt strong. Command was obviously erratic, and anytime you give somebody something, they're going to take advantage of it. Luckily for myself, my guys were there to pick me up tonight when I didn't really have it.
We haven't discussed the case of Carson Smith separating his shoulder, throwing a glove in the dugout yet, have we?
No.
This is something because yesterday with the game, with the Celtics game, right, we weren't even able to get to.
Right.
And apparently now there is some back and forth with what Alex Cora was saying about him. And
yep.
Okay, what's going on with that?
Basically, Smith complains that his shoulder was fatigued from overuse, and that may have contributed to him subluxing the shoulder when he threw his glove in anger after being taken out of a game. Alex Cora basically said, well, no, that's not true.
We check in with all these guys. We make sure they're not being overused.
Exactly.
And it's a very, blah, 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 blah. But then again, as Fred has said for a while now, the Red Sox do find a way of ruining their pitchers.
Just about everybody.
Yeah, they find a way of screwing everyone up.
So who are you going to kind of believe here? You know,
your arm is such, and by the way, Jeff Passan has a book out called The Arm or Arm or something like that, where he goes through all this stuff. But regardless of use or fatigue, I mean, you can throw your arm out doing anything. I mean, you can screw your shoulder up basically doing anything. I mean, if you throw a glove as hard as you can just like anything else.
The bigger picture to all of this is that the Red Sox bullpen is mediocre at best.
Mm.
And if you want to go where this team's payroll, it kind of pushes it to go, you need a bullpen that's better than the one you have now.
Where you know where you want to go.
Where everybody knows your name?
Duck boats.
Wait.
Yeah.
You could do that.
I mean, where you want to go is you want to go championships. You want to go championship city. You want to hold up that
yeah.
World City. You want to say, hello, October.
Championship city.
That's right.
I want a shirt that says that. Just a generic one you can buy at Target.
No, it doesn't even say Boston. No, Boston on it, just championship city.
Just championship city.
Okay. I'm sure.
And then it's just the MLS
here.
Cup.
Yeah. Crack staff of this radio station can get right on it.
It's the Overwatch League trophy.
That would be great. Yeah. Just you can sell it anywhere. Just as sure as it's championship city.
Yep.
Yeah, it could be Lincoln
City.
Yeah, it could be some town in New Mexico.
Sure. WNBA. Minnesota Lynx is in there. They're a pretty big
city.
Team. So
yeah,
Championship City.
Yeah.
That's what we are here. We love championships.
Nothing quite like May baseball to get the blood flowing.
Well, now the Red Sox remain a half game out at first behind the Yankees.
So that's something to be paying attention to.
There you go. I don't know.
Standings
in
May.
I find it interesting because it's the one thing that's keeping me locked in, what's going on with the Yankees and what's going on with the Red Sox. I find it interesting, but you're right.
The really good start has masked this team's problems over the last month. Mm. So they started so well, and I think they're .500 their last 24 games. So, yeah.
It ain't no way to Champ City.
Nope. No,
not to Championship City.
Can't punch
not.
Your ticket to Championship City with that.
The path to Championship City is riddled with landmines. If you go 500 for any stretch of time, kiss that bad boy goodbye.
That's right. That's not a trip you're making. Not to Championship City.
No.
They only take champions. Well, so now they're... So next up, I want that shirt. Just Championship City.
And all the things you just said right on the back of it.
Doesn't that seem like the shirt they sell at Target when you walk in?
Yeah. Sure.
Just that, nameless, just...
Generic, green and yellow Championship
Remember
City?
When Adolfo would go to Target and he would get shirts that said, rock and roll?
Right.
That's right.
Generic ones.
Yeah.
Well, the best is when these stores, try to make them local. There's one that just said, The Cape, and it has, a lighthouse on it.
Yeah.
All right, who's gonna buy that?
Well, if you go to Newport... I mean, every store has got Newport. And then you walk around and everyone's got them on.
You're telling me anywhere on Martha's Vineyard you wander into an Oak Bluffs with 8,000 T-shirt shops, you won't find one of those?
Well, they have that dog store there.
Yeah.
They have that black dog over there on
right.
Martha's Vineyard. But
sure.
In Newport, they don't got that. but just at every store's got just Newport.
Yeah.
And then what's funny is you'll be walking around and 90% of the people have Newport shirts on. You go, well, that's where we are.
Yeah, there's the local.
Oh, yeah.
That's a local right there. You go,
that's, I think locals wear them. Like, it's just everyone's got one on. Like, yes, indeed.
That's right. Wasn't there a shirt?
Why would you want a shirt that just said, I don't know.
The case.
I don't know. I have a bunch of shirts that say Detroit, so I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's different. I mean, it's like Detroit. Well, it's more than Detroit, right? It doesn't say Detroit. It's like a team, right?
I don't know. I have shirts that just say Detroit.
Wasn't there a shirt that was being sold at one of those stores that had all the city names wrong and all the locations?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was like Southie was spelled S-O-U-T-H-Y, and then there were some other things on
Southie,
there.
Southie,
yeah. Southie. They did it all wrong.
My suggestion is to go to Newport, get drunk, and buy nautical maps, as I have in the past.
Nautical maps?
Yep. Got a bunch of nautical maps at the house.
Speaking of which, Fred, you know what I found in my house yesterday? Another globe. I now have two globes in my house.
Yeah, that was a good purchase.
Two globes. Yeah. Very exciting. One upstairs, one downstairs.
Yeah, you look at it, you go, hey,
yep.
Where am I going to go? How many cities have I been to? How many states have I been to?
Yep.
26. I've been to 26 states.
That doesn't, you're throwing out the fact like you, a plane changeover, that doesn't count,
I don't count North Carolina.
Okay, all right.
I count South Carolina, not North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at the shirt now that was being sold. Where they just have all the neighborhoods wrong. They invented new neighborhoods. Like, there's one that's just called Central.
Central?
Yeah.
Central what?
Like, they have East.
Where?
It's got, like, East Boston, Southeast, spelled S-O-U-T-H-Y. And then they got one called Central, which looks like kind of where Chinatown and Beacon Hill is, maybe.
Okay.
It also omits, like, a bunch of different cities. Then there's Jamaica Plain. It doesn't even say Jamaica. They don't even spell it right. Jamaica Plain. So that was being sold there for a while.
Nice.
Live and local. That's what it is.
Okay. Rich, we have more stuff coming up. What will we discuss?
Brad Stevens might have gotten completely dissed by his peers, the coaches, but it seems like the rest of the NBA wants to give him a little bit of credit in the NBA awards for Coach of the Year. Also, another Celtic gets nominated, as well as some more news coming out of the Green in preparation for the game that's being played about 14 nights from now.
Yeah, the Rockets Golden State series resumes on Sunday.
Yep. Oh, really? That's a Sunday game?
Yeah, they have the same amount of time off the Celtics and Cavaliers do. It goes Monday, Wednesday, Sunday.
Okay, well, the good news is, if I'm not mistaken, John, is after Saturday, it's every other day.
Same with the other series, yes.
Okay,
every other day.
Well, that...
Every day is another step towards Championship City.
Championship City.
Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Kutcher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, Brad Stevens may not have received one vote from his peers for Coach of the Year, but he is now officially a nominee for that title and the real one that the media members vote on. His competition, Dwayne Casey, of course, of Toronto, who has been fired since, and Quinn Snyder of Utah. Dwayne Casey probably more than likely will end up winning that because, once again, this is a regular season award.
Yeah.
Also receiving a nomination yesterday was Jason Tatum for Rookie of the Year. His competition, Donovan Mitchell from Utah, and Ben Simmons. Now, it is funny, after that Sixers series, to imagine Ben Simmons winning that award over Jason Tatum. But once again
regular season award.
There's an article on ESPN.com about what rookies have the biggest star potential, and it's unanimous between Donovan Mitchell and Ben Simmons.
I just find that crazy.
Everyone has them, a combination of one or two. Tatum is three.
What are they saying about Tatum? Like, have they said why? Because, I mean, he's...
I can read you what they say about Tatum. I think he's absolutely in the conversation for number two. I don't think it's completely out of the question. He becomes the best player out there. Tatum, how easily he adapted his game, trending away from the isolation-heavy basketball we saw for stretches at Duke and in high school. A 6'8" combo forward who can score and defend multiple positions aren't easy to find, and Tatum fits the bill. Simmons is just so unique. His ability to make everyone around him better gives him a slight edge for me. The question with Tatum is always his ceiling. He's not the most physical or imposing athlete, thank you, and had the tendency to live off tough shots in the past, but he looks the part of a future all-star for many years to come.
It's interesting. I mean,
someone has actually Fultz as number three. or four. Fultz, then Lonzo Ball. So the it's a
out of this last rookie class. Well, I mean,
it's unanimous. Ben Simmons and Donovan Mitchell.
Well, Donovan Mitchell's excellent. The Ben Simmons thing. I mean, you've known my. I've said it a thousand times. My opinion on him. You have to develop a shot. You got to be able to shoot if you're going to be a superstar in this league. And he does not have that yet. Now his size is amazing, and I understand that. But we've also seen that there's one player who doesn't wilt under pressure, and there's one that seems to have done this exactly that in that Sixers series. So. I mean, it seems like Jason Tatum would have the edge, but once again, you know, going who knows forward, if that's not something that you could actually fix.
Going forward, I love the flexibility Simmons will offer the 76ers as a point guard on offense and a 6'10" defender capable of matching up with basically anyone, any spot 1-4. After all, Simmons' wingspan is just as big as Mitchell's, and he's got the frame and rebounding ability to go with it. Certainly improving as a shooter will be important for Simmons, but we've already seen that he can be an all-star caliber player as a non-shooter, and his decision-making and craft should only get better from here.
So most valuable player, the nominees are Anthony Davis, James Harden, and LeBron James. If you look at the numbers, LeBron James by far should be in third place on that list. Anthony Davis, I mean, James Harden's going to win that one, but Anthony Davis's numbers are impressive as hell. And I think it's just because James Harden, he was ridiculous with
best
the amount of individuals.
Best player on the best team in the NBA.
Sure.
But Davis's numbers went up after Cousins was lost for the season. And the only reason, I think New Orleans won 48 games and they were tied for fourth place and they lost on tiebreakers, is because Davis was so otherworldly. So there's a good argument for Davis to win the thing.
Boy, for some reason, people got really mad yesterday when Mike Gorman was in studio, and he was the one who suggested this. And I don't even know how it came up. I think we were talking about where LeBron James was going to go, and that kind of turned into, well, what's next for the Celtics? And he said that somebody had come to him.
It was last night, two nights ago at the game.
Yeah, two nights ago at the game, somebody had come to him and said, here's a trade scenario that a lot of people hadn't been thinking of, is would you trade Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward and a pick for Anthony Davis? And I was like, oh, that sounds kind of interesting. People got pissed. Let him just, why are you talking trades already? They're still in the middle of playing. I don't know. First of all, yell at Mike Gorman if you want to do that, if you be man. But the fact that people are so upset that this is just getting thrown out there, I don't understand why everyone's so butthurt about just discussions. Just discussions. Just, why the hell not? By the way, I find that kind of interesting. Out of all the trade scenarios, that's the one that I find the most interesting. But you can't trade Gordon Hayward after an injury like that, because then players would be so scared to come to the Celtics. Like, that's like a really dirty move to end up playing for a team or signing with a team, moving your family, you get injured, and then before you can even come back, they end up trading you. You've played a total of 5 minutes for this team. You can't do that. But man, there's some really sensitive people out there. If you haven't known Fred on Twitter, I'm sure that you I've experienced that firsthand.
Yeah.
Then Defensive Player of the Year, Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid, Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert is probably going to win that
one. No Draymond.
Draymond not on there.
Not on there.
First of all, there's the consistency. So it just becomes one of these things that are blasé. You try to make a name for yourself. And second of all, you know, people offended by his physical nature.
Also, the NBA announced that they will not further discipline J.R. Smith for the foul on Al Horford in Game 2. Which, if you're a Celtics fan, is excellent news, because you want that waste of space on the court as much as possible in this series. Brad Stevens, he was on with Zolak and Bertrand yesterday, and he said they can't let anything distract them from the task at hand.
These guys have been incredible throughout this run, but we have a long way to go. We still have things we can improve on from the last two games. We have things that we all need to work on to be better, and we just have to kind of keep that mindset. I think anybody that has ever been through one of these series knows that these things turn very quickly if you don't stay locked in, you don't stay focused, and nobody has a better ability to turn it than, you know, LeBron James.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to get distracted, but there's a video that's going viral of a guy who's dressed as Spider-Man, and he was on the tee, and he was hanging by his legs upside down while looking at a phone, you know, like he's acting like Spider-Man. I saw that guy yesterday at Boston Common when I was walking my son to his baseball game, and that's a guy you immediately pull your kids away from. There's a dude dressed like Spider-Man just walking around Common by himself, going up and waving at children. You're moving your kids the hell away from him. It was like a dirty Spider-Man suit, too.
Okay.
You don't know what's... You don't want anyone talking to him. You stay the hell away.
As opposed to all the other people you run into on the common?
I would say somebody who's specifically dressed as something that is supposed to make children excited. There's randomly like bubble guys that hang out on Boston Common.
Why don't you just move?
No, I mean, because it's fun. It's a great place to live.
City living.
I do.
There's
a lot of great stuff, but you just got to, like, you know, keep your wits about you.
In other words, it's a cost of doing business.
Well, you got to keep your wits about you. You can't just fall and be complacent when the guy dressed as Spider-Man is running around. You got to keep your wits about you.
It's true. When your kids go running towards him,
you just told us about four nasty things that happened about a block from your house.
Oh, yeah.
And now you're like, oh, yeah, it's
so
cool.
But you know what? That becomes like a dog barking in the distance.
But
like,
it's
the equivalent.
The point I'm trying to make is that shouldn't be like that.
You should
be grossed out by that and want to move from that area.
You know what's funny is I had a friend come in from out of town, and he's lived like in like the sticks like his entire life. And I remember we were walking down Boylston, and as we're just like talking to each other, some guy just walks past us, and he's like swearing, like using the F word, and he's like yelling at nobody. And I just continue talking to my friend. He goes, no, wait. This needs to be discussed.
Yeah.
I mean, so what just happened here? And to me, it's just... As I said, it's like white noise.
The wind through the trees.
No, that doesn't happen by me.
You've become numb to this, which is scary
in
itself.
Well, no. I mean,
there's a guy who wears all white who walks
Tom Wolfstead.
In the middle of Washington Street and just has like a cane and dances. And if you say anything to him, he screams at you.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to be interrupted.
No,
he's performing.
He's doing his own parade right down Washington Street near Downtown Crossing. And you know what? I see him like every other day, and as I said, it's like white noise to me.
Well, in Atlanta, there was a guy that wore a wedding dress and had one of those batons, and he would march up and down the street every day tossing the baton.
Oh, no, the star of that city was Elephantitis, man.
Yeah, there was a guy, he was around forever, he right by my house, like because he was on Ponce and then the road I lived on. And he wore biker pants, and he had elephantitis of his testicles.
It looked like he had a bowling ball in his pants, and he wore biker shorts, and he would just stand at a corner and dance.
Sometimes he wouldn't even dance. He'd just stand there.
He just...
It was elephantitis.
Hey, what's
guy.
Up, ladies?
And like the news would interview him?
No, the ladies I don't think were overly interested.
No. Okay.
No, I don't think ladies like guys with bowling ball balls.
Okay.
Like, that's not something that women are like, all right.
Yeah, this sounds like a night of fun.
If I could just get a guy with larger testicles. It's like Tom Selleck, Magnum P.I. Woo! Look at him. He's got giant balls. All right. We will be back. We are just an hour away from Townie Jeopardy and then Cedric Maxwell and Danny Ainge and all these things coming up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Celtics can go up by 10. Smart lob. Horford catches and got fouled. Pushed in the back by J.R. Smith.
Oh.
And now we got more trouble. Terry Rozier wants a piece of J.R. Smith after the cheap shot.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Violence erupting.
Yep, and there being no more punishment, and as I said, that is a good thing. Boy, does he stink. J.R. Smith has been just awful. 0-7, is that what he was
in
game two? Yeah,
7.
He's been awful. By the way, apparently a ton of people are into the Celtics-Cavs series because the ratings are through the roof. Game two averaged 8.3 million viewers on ESPN, which is up 42% from the same window last year when it was Spurs versus Warriors. One thing that it seems like right now that the world is not into is the draft lottery special. That show averaged 2.4 million viewers, which is down 25% from last year's 30-minute show. That was the way and the reasoning behind trying to drag that out for an entire hour was absolutely ridiculous. The first 45 minutes of it, absolutely nothing happened. Except for, of course, seeing Jamie Gertz from Less Than Zero and the Lost Boys up there out of nowhere and shaking your head trying to figure out what the hell she's doing there. But that was a flop in the ratings. I don't know
why. Didn't they used to do that at halftime of a game?
Yeah,
that
sounds right.
I think that's right.
Yeah, they used to do it at halftime of a playoff game.
Yeah, so they had a whole hour-long special, and like Adrian Wojnarowski was there, like trying to like you know break things down
no,
as
you
far
need
as who
a guy,
gets the pick.
You need a guy standing by the touchscreen board. Where you can touch things and move like prospective draft picks into starting lineups.
Well, there's no one like overly exciting. in this draft either. There's no, like, Patrick Ewing or something like that where everyone's going crazy.
Sure. And also the top teams weren't teams with massive fan bases. It was like the Suns and the Hawks and who was the other? Who was the third? The Kings.
Yeah, Sacramento's right. Second, Atlanta's third.
Yeah, it wasn't like a team like the Lakers or Knicks or somebody or the Celtics even who had a chance to, you know, a legit shot to be one of the top picks. So that was not very good in the ratings, but the real kick in the teeth for Cleveland is that they obviously are now realizing that they're worse off without Kyrie Irving than the Boston Celtics are. And yesterday, a unidentified player from Cleveland told The Athletic that, quote, Danny Ainge is a effing thief regarding the Kyrie Irving trade. He said no explanation needed. I just love the fact that that person needed to go unnamed. Like, why would that hurt? Unless that person was LeBron James. Like, who else's reputation is yet to be sullied on that team?
It's all coming out. I mean, I was reading a story last night that all the trades that Cleveland made at the deadline, none of them were what LeBron and Ty Lue wanted.
Okay, so yeah, I was reading true. A bunch of stuff, too. What is the trade that they wanted
They wanted DeAndre Jordan from the Clippers. That's who they wanted. And rightfully so, that would have cleaned up a lot of defensive problems this team has, given them an agile big man inside. But the problem was, in order to get DeAndre Jordan, you would have had to trade the Brooklyn pick to the Clippers. Because Clippers, I mean, DeAndre Jordan's a good player.
Right.
So you would have had to sacrifice a significant portion of your future for 1 year.
And why would you do that if LeBron James is not committing to your organization?
That's the two Rams butting heads. LeBron wanted win now, get everything now. I'm not guaranteeing you anything else. The organization's like, screw that. We have to have something left over after you leave. Look what happened the first time you left.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm on the team side here. I mean, you can't sacrifice 3 or 4 years into the future for one season. You can't do it, especially when you know that LeBron isn't coming back.
Well, taking a look down the road, if the Celtics do indeed move on, it's getting interesting to find out who they might meet in the finals.
Tucker, harassed by Green, plays it back in the corner to Harden. 4-3, got it. What a shot for James Harden. Timeout Golden State. The lead is 12.
After what seemed like a for certain blowout, I mean, game one, you thought Golden State was going to take this series no problem. Then all of a sudden, Houston comes around and has a blowout of their own, 127-105. Mike D'Antoni afterwards making a little bit of a funny.
So was this about adjustments?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we went from the wide-open California offense to the triple threat. I mean, we changed everything up. No, we did exactly what we did. We played harder. We got into them, and they felt us physically. And we didn't quite have that same intensity in the first game. Our guys are great, and they learned from it, snapped back, and did the job.
He stole that from Richard Pryor.
Did he really?
Yeah. The Houston split at home.
Do you see what Houston did last night, though? They just, whatever guy was guarding Steph Curry, he picked James Harden's guy, and they made Curry guard everybody. That's all they did. They just kept taking Steph Curry to the basket over and over and over and over and over again and say, hey, you're not a good defensive player. We're going to score on you at will. I don't see that changing anytime soon. So we'll see. We'll see if they can actually win a game in Oakland now.
So it's
we
now
have to wait
until
Sunday night, but we'll find out eventually.
And it's just ridiculous that you got to wait that long. So what time is the game on Saturday, the Celtics game?
11:30. No, it's same time as always. It's 8:30 every game.
I just figured on the weekend they might have moved it around a little bit.
No. Right. It's 8:30 every time. And now on to the end of the series, it's 8:30.
That's prime time, baby. 8:30 on a Saturday. That's like Murder, She Wrote there.
Correct.
8:30 on a Saturday. That's a prime audience right there.
You're going up opposite the Ghost Whisperer.
Yeah, that's like hour-long show that you've never seen in your entire life at a time.
The one that your mom likes.
It's like Blue Bloods or whatever the hell else is on.
It's all the shows our moms like.
Blue Bloods are Friday night.
Same difference. Friday night is not exactly a playground for hit shows.
Hawaii 5-0 and Blue Bloods, back-to-back CBS Friday night.
Now, you like Hawaii 5-0.
I gave up on that, but I do watch Blue Bloods. I do.
But so Friday nights are wild at the
it's a DVR situation, but yes, I watch Blue Bloods.
Now, what about Blue Bloods? Is it just the love of Tom Selleck?
Absolutely.
My mother loves Blue Bloods. I think it's because they're Catholic on the show.
Oh, is that? Yeah. There is a rather heavy-handed religious thing involved.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think the Cell Man's gotten a little religious as he's gone on.
That I did not know.
I know he's super into guns.
Okay.
And that's probably another reason my mom would like the show.
I think sometimes the two go hand in hand.
if you go to the Ted Nugent saying God, Guns, and Rock and Roll.
Sure.
Well, which that's... I encourage everyone to read because it starts off with a citizen's arrest story of a guy doing drugs in a bathroom. And Nuge just gets in there and he's like, I'm making a citizen's effing arrest.
Of a guy just doing drugs?
Hell yeah. Because you know how, like, when you read a book and the first chapter is like, or the first thing in the book is a
sensational
story.
Yeah, it's usually like, something to hook you in.
To hook you in.
Yep.
And his was making a citizen's arrest. He's like one of the four people in the history of the world to make a citizen's arrest.
And not get their ass kicked.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do with the Nuge? I mean, he's a 65-year-old man. And, you know, he don't mess around.
Well, we got to get to something because we have had a special guest in the booth. If you were watching any of the Red Sox games over the last couple of days, the wild man was here, Mr. Johnny Gomes. And he had a quite the evening yesterday.
Oh, damn it. I missed it.
Oh, well, you missed some shenanigans. Because
Gomes?
He wasn't the only guest in the booth. And things get a little awkward when somebody else tries to invade his territory.
All right. Well, I look forward to hearing this. We won't have to wait long because there's no commercials, just the headlines.